Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
Okay, so we are back with another episode of How Not to Suck a Divorce, continuing the conversation about the house. Take the emotion out of it and you treat this like a business.
Because remember this, financial deals have ramifications forever.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce. How's it going, Morgan?
It's going. I think that's the best I can say tonight. How about you?
Really? Yeah. I mean, yes, especially considering the conversation that you and I just had offline about life stuff. I'm like, here I am. But it's going to be okay. Like, I feel like spring is coming, right?
And it's in the air for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like we've got some good stuff going on. And we have our phenomenal group of listeners. Hold on. Actually, before I get into that, can we just take a second to relish in the fact that we had over 10,000 downloads this month.
I can't even believe it. Like, who are these people?
They weren't all me. I was 9,000 of them. But they were a solid thousand.
My mom was probably another 500.
Well, whoever you are out there, we love you. And thank you so much for listening to How Not to Suck at Divorce. Now, I'm obsessed with that, first of all. But what I mean, for those of you who wondered what that noise was, that was the sound of my 8-year-old son scaring me. So never a dull moment over here. Okay.
I love this segment because it brings about things that we didn't even know we needed.
Things that we're literally obsessed with. So spring is coming, like I just mentioned. And what I'm obsessed with is the fact that shopping for spring can be a whole lot more affordable than shopping for winter. Hear me out. It's expensive to buy sweaters, right? And it's really hard to buy sweaters of like higher quality that aren't hundreds of dollars. We all know this, right? And cheap sweaters don't last well. They don't wash well. They're itchy. But tank tops are a whole lot more forgiving. You can stock up. I mean, I am a fan of the, what's the brand? A New Day from Target. They make phenomenal tank tops.
Okay.
Phenomenal tank tops. And they're like $8. Wow. And they don't make them in like icky colors. They make them in nice, really nice colors. I say treat yourself every season and buy fresh tank tops.
Get Wait, do they have
tops from last season?
Do they have burnt orange?
Why, to match my joggers?
I'll never forget when you said that you bought new joggers and I said, what color? And you said burnt orange. And I was like, could you pick an uglier color? Oh my gosh.
Unless we have any Texas Longhorn fans listening, then girl, everything down there is burnt orange. And I actually was a Longhorn for a few minutes. So that's where that comes from. I don't know. I mean, we don't need to get back into the joggers, but yes, I will spend $100 on a pair of joggers and $8 on a tank top. I'm taking it to my grave. That's the way I like to roll. It's happening. I'm obsessed. I say you all go out to Target, get rid of your old tank tops or use them to sleep in. Get yourself some fresh tank tops.
For $8, how do you beat it?
You can't. You can't beat it. And so don't say we never did nothing for you. We're right. going to help you save that money so that you can potentially keep your house.
Amen. Boom.
Tying it all together. Tying it all together. How's that? Okay. So let's continue this conversation about the house. So we decided to dedicate this episode to ways that you can keep the house. So listen closely because we're going to give you some insider tips on what you can do if your intent is to remain in the marital home.
Yep, we are. And we're going to focus this episode around three things that you can do to see whether keeping the house may work for you. And because you know, if you're a regular around here on this podcast, we'd love to keep the content based in threes so that it's easier to remember and easier to take action. And we're going to do that again today.
Okay, so three steps that you can take to help you keep the house if you want to keep the house. So let's just, why don't we list them out to start and then we can go through them one by one.
Exactly. We're going to do it. And I'm going to do it in three steps. And like, I think last time when we were on the podcast, I had six steps on one thing and I said number five twice. So if you heard that, I apologize. I'm going to get my counting right. It was late. I was in my son's closet. So we're going to do this right. If I can't count to three today, literally just hang up on me, Andrea.
We're done. Okay. You know what? We'll try again later. Well, it's okay. I mean, I've got my son scaring me in the middle of the night as we record this. You can't count to three. Put us together and we're a show.
That's right. Here we are.
Over 10,000 downloads this month. So there you have it.
Can't count, but we can talk. Okay. Number one. So if you want to keep your house, number one, you want to know your options for refinancing or what a buyout may look like. Number two, this is a good one. You want to get creative with your negotiations. And number three, I always want you to keep a business mind with an emotional decision.
Okay. I think so
first, kudos to me for counting to three.
Good. Yes. Mazel tov. That was hard work and you did it like a champ. Now, I want to play, like, let's pretend I'm the average listener who might have some questions about everything that you're talking about here. So let's start with refinancing. I mean,
okay.
So like, let's just spell out for people in general terms, what refinancing means. That means that the old mortgage is null and you're starting all over again.
Okay. So I think the better question is, why do you refinance?
Okay.
And the reason you refinance in the simple way in divorce to think about it is usually you have to refinance because it's the only way other than selling a house to get rid of somebody else's name on the mortgage.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So if you're jointly on the mortgage, the only way to get somebody's name off of it, besides selling it and paying off that mortgage, because when you sell it, the proceeds of the house pay off the mortgage generally, is to refinance to remove someone's name. And you may be asking yourself, why is that important? Well, These days, it's really important to get somebody off of a mortgage. So if your ex is on the mortgage with you, because the ex doesn't want to be tied to a debt. So liability wise, they're not going to want to be tied, and their lawyer's not going to want them to be sitting on the house. But the bigger thing is what we're finding is a lot of times when they're stuck on the house, it's hard for them to buy another house.
Okay. And then does their, and I'm also imagining that their credit rating is affected, right? Because they're still on a mortgage.
And that would That's why it's hard for them to buy a second house, because, you know, the mortgage providers usually look at credit, but also debts, assets, everything. So if you have a big debt in your name, or, you know, a liability on your asset sheet, that could be counted against you depending on what your assets look like.
Now, if somebody listening to this is like, well, that sounds good to me. That seems like one way I can, you know, dick him over is by keeping him on the house. 9 times out of 10, your divorce decree is going to include a clause that says you've got to remove this person from the house in X amount of days, right?
Exactly. Because remember back to our last episode is, what is the court? You got to know what the court is going to do. And if you can't agree on a buyout or refinancing, the court's going to make you sell it. And if you do agree on a refinancing, and the other thing before I get to the refinancing is, if you do agree on the refinancing, there's going to be terms in your agreement, and that's going to be something you're going to negotiate. How long do you have to refinance that person? But remember, sometimes people also need to refinance to pull some of the equity of the house out to pay off the other person. Right. So there's a bunch of different reasons of why something may be refinanced.
You know, that actually, I feel like, did you do something? A while ago, did you do a live like a year ago with someone who does this kind of stuff, or was it like a mortgage person?
Yes, I did. Yeah. It was very interesting, because that's the one thing that I want to point out to people is, and when I'm talking about refinancing, I want you to know your options. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, in the middle of the divorce, I mean, our podcast is all about giving you the tools. And knowledge is power. And I always say that, and I'll say it again, knowledge is power. So if you don't know whether you qualify for a refinance, you need to know that.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as making a few calls to different mortgage brokers. And you have to know that mortgage brokers sometimes have different requirements. They're not all the same. So for instance, what do I mean by that? Well, some could require and say, we're not going to refinance you unless you find a co-signer to sign off on the loan for the new loan. So like your brother, your dad, your sister, your best friend, somebody else has to guarantee that loan. So some people say that. Another broker may say, I need to see that you've been collecting your maintenance or alimony or child support payments for 6 months before I feel comfortable giving you this loan. Wow. Some brokers don't even think like that and say, oh, we don't require that. You're fine. So that's why you have to kind of shop around, and you definitely have to look into the fact of whether you could even qualify for a refinance. And where's the best place to start? Your lawyer. Your lawyer will know people Yep. who can refinance, or at least talk to.
And something else that I'll mention right now, because this is the perfect opportunity for those of you who aren't aware, we now have a private community that we are offering to all of our listeners. It's on our Patreon channel, and we will have the link to this in our show notes. But something that we will be offering for just our private community is we will bring somebody on to answer some questions about refinancing. We'll do like a mini episode just with somebody who does this, who can give a little bit more insight into the questions that maybe you should ask, or qualifications that you should have, or the questions, I mean, again, the questions that you should come ready with when you talk to somebody.
And here's the thing for our Patreon listeners, what I'm going to do on that app is go toe to toe with these brokers. So Ooh. I want to ask the down and dirty questions to them as to, why do you do things differently? Why does one person say that you need this and the next person says you need this? Why is everyone's fees different? So I'm going to do that on that app. So if you want to
love you,
they are going to love me. We're going to be best friends. Okay. But getting back to our podcast, and one thing I wanted to say, because this is something that's so relevant right now, which is, if we're talking about refinancing, One thing you have to know when you're getting your ducks in a row and you're getting your information, if you are able to refinance, you need to look at what your current rate is for your mortgage, if you have one, and you need to know what your new rate may be in this market, because I will tell you that the payment on potentially new rates, because most rates are have gone up from prior rates, could be substantial. So when we're looking at the overall picture of whether you can afford to stay in the house, and that's a good financial picture or outcome for you, we need to know those actual numbers.
The other thing that you mentioned was step one was a possibility of a buyout.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
Okay. So what we're talking about here is, you know, a lot of times some estates require a refinance to buy the other, your ex out or the other side out, because they don't have cash laying around. Some people have some extra cash or some other assets on your balance sheet that you could use for a buyout. So that's why it's super important to know, going back to the first episode on the real estate, what's the house worth? So let's just do a really simple math game that's really, really simple.
And I love a good math game.
Yeah, because clearly I'm good at math. Last episode. Okay, so if you have equity in your home of $100,000 and you and your ex are doing a straight 50-50 division of the estate, you know that likely you're going to owe your ex $50,000 if you want to stay in that house. Mm-hmm. So what I'm looking at as your lawyer, and that's why balance sheets are so important, is once I have a value for the house, I'm going to be playing around on your balance sheet to see if I can shift other assets that make sense to your ex without really money really exchanging hands or you taking money out of your house during the refinance. Because don't forget, if you take money out on a refinance to pay out your ex, that's just more money that you're borrowing from the bank, meaning a higher payment. So if you can shift money elsewhere, it may make more sense in the overall divorce.
Hmm. Well, I'll go ahead and state the obvious that that made zero sense to me. Because I just don't think this way. And this is why I'm so glad that I said before that we're going to give even more insight on Patreon, because I think that if there are other people like me out there who went to theater school, they are going to need a little bit more handholding. Because I think that the other thing is, and I know that this is your last step, right, about thinking about this as a business, which we're not there yet, but when you are already emotionally overwhelmed, this shit is hard.
Yep. Yep. It's hard. And here's the thing. If what I just said is like Andrea is basically telling me I was speaking Chinese for a moment.
That's
right. But that's okay, because a lot of people are visual learners. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're in this like frazzled state, which most people are if you're going through this. So what I would do in that situation is say, here are your options. Let me show you the balance sheet. We could shift this asset over, and then basically you keep the equity in the house, if that's an option. Or I'll show you the balance sheet and say, there's no other options that I see. Do you see anything? Once you're actually seeing it, what I'm saying generally kind of makes sense, even if you went to theater school.
Well, there you go. Okay, let's move on to step number two.
Okay, step number two. Get creative in the negotiation. And what am I talking about here? Well, this is when I'm talking about ideas and ways to keep people in their house. And really, I'm kind of talking about more of a mediation, collaborative divorce, where you're more amicable and you can really truly negotiate. But I'm not saying that this step should not be used for negotiations in general, even if you're not amicable. And what do I mean by getting creative? I'm going to tell you some things that I've seen for people that really want to stay in the house for various reasons and ways that we've allowed them or gotten them to that part. So one way is, you know, a lot of people are worried because their children are in school. Let's just say your child started, you know, freshman year of high school, and they've got four more years to get them through high school and get out of the house. I always have clients being like, I just don't want to uproot them. So one of the ways that we can keep the child and the one of the spouses in the house is we could work on an agreement where we say, okay, you're going to stay in the house for X amount of time. Let's, for instance, get Johnny out of the door onto college after high school. And here's how the mortgage is going to be paid. And this happens a lot when kids are involved and both people have the goal of keeping the kids in the same place. So we work out how the mortgage is going to be paid, but then we also work out what happens on the back end when it's sold. Sometimes in these scenarios, we add in sweeteners that you can think about. Maybe you give them something that they really want in order to let you stay in the house with the children. Does that make sense? As an
well, yeah, but give me an example of a sweetener.
Yeah. Like Linda. So, oh, did I hear Linda?
What?
Did you just say Linda?
No, I said Splenda.
Oh, Splenda.
Linda. Okay. Oh, I didn't know
I
we were
thought you were doing words. An example with Linda, but let's use Linda.
Oh, I used okay. sweeteners, so I'm like, what are we talking about here?
Okay. All right. Linda wants to stay in the house with Johnny, right?
Okay.
So her ex is like, I don't know if I want you to do that. That's a long time to stay on the mortgage with you. But the ex really, really wants the crypto that they have. And the crypto really isn't that much. So maybe Linda says, all right, fine, you take 100% of the crypto account, but I'm staying in the house for 4 more years. And then thereafter, I'm going to sell it and we'll divide the proceeds. Now you've gotten something you want, and now I have what I want.
Okay. So crypto could be an example. Can you give me some examples that you have seen? I mean, that yep. you commonly repeat? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So one thing that I did recently is similar situation to Linda. Linda and Johnny are staying in the house till Johnny gets out of high school, which yeah. means that in this case, the husband had to stay on the mortgage for 4 more years, which kind of puts him in a bind because he can't.
That's a very white family. Linda and Johnny.
You don't know what the husband's name is. You are just really I'm reaching just thinking, there. Okay.
Linda and Johnny. Okay. All right.
Okay, so Linda and Johnny. And so the husband in this case has to stay on the mortgage, and that's going to probably not be, you know, great for him because he may not be able to buy another house for, you know, 4+ years. So one way that we work that out is one, to either at the end of it, when it's sold after 4 years, maybe he gets a bigger percentage of the sale. Just a slight percentage that's bigger. Or maybe overall, we figure out what 1% of the marital estate is, and maybe we give him a little bit more of the entire marital estate. It's a sweetener to let him know that his money, because if you think about it this way, his asset is being tied up for 4 years interest-free, basically. Now, yes, you're gaining some, hopefully your real estate value is going up, but his money's stuck there for 4+ years. So you have to think about it in financial terms.
Right. And again, I mean, all roads lead back to having the right representation and having representation that plays nicely with opposing counsel, because think about how much easier this dialogue goes between two people who are like, okay, like, look, my client wants this and we understand why. Okay. Now we understand that your client's money is going to be tied up in this, right? And so in order to make this happen, we are prepared to talk, you right. know? And so I totally get this, and I can see how, I mean, I could see how for the person who is allowing the other one to remain in the house, they're like, well, like this, not that anybody wants to dick over their kids. Let's just say that too. You know, like when it is their children, like being able to stay in the same school, I think most people are like, I understand the importance behind it. However, it still is my money. Mm-hmm. And they need to know that something is going to come back to them.
Right. Well, and I think you just think about it black and white. So if you had, let's just simple terms, your $50,000 out of your house to invest mm-hmm. elsewhere, that money would probably make it some kind of interest. And so if you're sitting it in the house and it's not potentially making that same interest, maybe you want to think about it in financial terms. And we'll get to why thinking about it with a financial mindset is the best way to go about it. But those are the sweeteners. You also have to look at what your ex really wants. So I always say, tell your lawyer everything, tell them what makes the other side tick, everything, because then we can use and figure out what these sweeteners are to keep and execute on your goals. And I want to make one more mention of something here. So there are a lot of creative negotiations, and you should know this if you're thinking about it. If you are a maintenance or alimony candidate and a child support candidate, a lot of times what we do, if someone wants to stay in the house and they're receiving X amount of dollars a month, we can offset certain dollars to go towards payment of the mortgage or things like that to keep the person in the house. And then potentially when the house is sold, maybe the alimony or the maintenance goes back up. There's lots of creative ways to work around that to meet both people's needs.
It's so tough. You know, it's so interesting because so much of a divorce is like based in a formula, right? Like, how much alimony will I be receiving? What is my child support? You know, those things are like beep, boop, 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 boop. This is kind of what you're dealing with. But then so much of this is very much a land of gray. And that's yes. why it matters, like how you finesse the situation. And that's why leading into step number three, why it's so important that you take, as hard as it sounds, you take the emotion out of it and you treat this like a business.
Yep, that's number three, exactly. And we know that this is such an emotional decision to make, but we can't let you get your emotions making the decision for you. Because remember this, financial deals have ramifications forever. Emotions are generally temporary and do heal with time. So if you're in a bad financial deal for you to stay in the home, do not do it. If you know in your heart of hearts and your gut is telling you, Andrea and I are big believers of your gut and telling you, you know, warning signs. If your gut is telling you this is a bad deal, or I can't afford this, or I'm not going to be able to survive if I do this deal, do not do it. No house or living situation is worth that.
No, you're going to be tied to something that is really going to weigh you down, and it's going to impinge on your quality of life and the quality of your children's lives. And just like how we talk about when somebody is vacillating between, should I get divorced? Should I stay? What should I do? We always say your kids are aware of more than they're letting on. They're also going to be aware of the stress that you're going through to keep them in a home that it really doesn't make sense for you right. to remain in.
I see, you know, and that's the tough part, because there's silver lining in it. I do have clients who, you know, are worried about affording it or worried about the refinance rate. And then they do it because they think that they're going to beat the other side's valuation and the house is going to be worth way more. And sometimes it happens. Sometimes it's a slam dunk financial deal. But what I hate to see is you're stuck in a house that's way too big. Now you have, you know, way more rooms to take care of. You're totally cash strapped. The house is in disrepair, because remember, it's not just paying the mortgage, it's keeping the house up. And that's a lot. It is a lot.
It's true. And again, we get the emotional attachment. We talked about this on the last episode that we did last week, right? Like you raised a family in this home. You decorated this home. Maybe you remodeled this home. You picked out the wallpaper. You potentially brought your babies home from the hospital to this home. There's a lot of good memories there. And I think for a lot of people, even if you're mourning the loss of this relationship and the home is like something that you still have, but keep in mind that with all of that, not only may it not make financial sense for you to keep the home, but you could also be holding on to memories that are going to hold you back.
Yes, I love that. I was just thinking that, because a new home, and I'm not advocating either way. I think everyone should do what's best for themselves and their family. And it's my job as your lawyer to talk to you about the pros and the cons financially in your own estate. And no estate is like the other person. So throw that out the window when you hear that. So I'm not advocating either way, but I do think there's something to be said about starting fresh.
Yeah.
And, you know, making it your own and making it special. I mean, you know, Andrea, you did that.
I did. And my situation is unique because my ex-husband kept the marital home. which isn't so common. Usually the mom keeps the home. And I was the one who moved out. I absolutely adore where I live. I made it a home immediately. With that being said, I will not pretend that it's not strange when I go and pick up my children from dad's. Oh, yeah. And I can look inside and remember, like, oh yeah, that room used to be my office. And that's I remember when we wanted to paint that wall navy, and I remember this, and but that's all part of it. There's going to be parts of this that are weird.
Right.
Weird thing. And it's amazing in your life, but you can get through this. And I would like to believe that I am able to be in the place that I'm at right now because of the choices that I made. So for me, being in this new space is very, very healthy. I can also imagine that when you are looking to move on in a relationship, that it might be kind of funny moving on if you're still in the marital home. I don't know. I'm curious to know. So listeners,
it's still the marital bed.
Yeah.
It's a brand new relationship in the same bed.
I don't know about that. So listeners, if you kept the home and it was not weird at all, you had no qualms, will you write and let us know? Because I'm very curious to know how people have done this and what the experience was like for you. Okay, let's recap.
Yes, let's recap. Please. And I want to leave you, before I recap, I want to leave you with something uplifting, which is, I would say the majority of the time, if the estate warrants it and somebody really wants to stay in the marital house, if you communicate your wishes early to your attorney, there is a good chance that we can figure out a way to keep you there. Mm-hmm. So you just need the right attorney and you need to communicate it early. And it's our job to walk you through it. So if that's something that you're so stuck on, don't worry. I'm not saying it's a no. I'm saying it's probably a yes if you do it right and your estate warrants it. So I don't want you to feel negative, like it's not going to happen. That is not what I'm saying at all. So to recap the three, number one, do your research. You've got to know your options for refinance or buyout. Okay. So get the details, get the information. Number two, you have to get creative and know creative ways on how to negotiate. Talk to your lawyer early about creative ideas that may work for your family to get you to the end point to keep the house. And number three, keep that business mind. Do whatever you can to shove those emotions down when you're making the best decision for you and your next step in life.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at shove those emotions down.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to literally
just raise my little finger and say, you know, maybe also go to therapy and work through it. We're not proponents of, like, you know, push your feelings aside. They don't matter. But you've got to know, you have to know is how to switch brains and really think with your business brain, because your emotional brain, the part of you that's falling apart, is not the strongest part of you to make these decisions.
Yep.
Okay. I want to go back and talk about what we mentioned at the beginning of this segment, which is the Patreon account that we have now and the community that we now have, which is completely private and exclusive. I want to talk about why we're doing this. So for those of you who listen to our show and who have not yet decided to go get a divorce, you're in that stage of, I'm not really sure what to do. And I know that there's a lot of you who are in this place. We know that there's been some trepidation with downloading episodes of our show, especially if you're an Apple subscriber, because you'd want to make sure that you're not putting anything on your iCloud account, which is, you know, letting someone know, like, oh, I thought everything was fine. And now all of a sudden he's downloaded an entire season of How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Awkward.
Yeah, strange. So with that in mind, and just for many other reasons, we decided to launch a private community where there is a monthly fee attached. So for $8 a month, it's really nominal, you will have access to all of our episodes, in addition to extra information that is exclusive to our private community. So with every episode, we'll be doing a bonus episode where we're going to go even deeper into the nitty gritty and give you more insights. So like what we just mentioned, we're going to be talking with some refinancing experts, and Morgan's going to rip them to get all the knowledge that you need to make the best decisions. We're also going to do monthly Q&A sessions. So just like how you guys have been sending in questions to us on our social media handles every day, we now are going to have a place where we can give you all of the attention and insight you need and deserve. Again, there's going to be a link to the Patreon account in the show notes. Go check it out. Join us. You will be a VIP.
That's right. And one of the things that we always talked about, and the reason that we joined this new service, is just for confidentiality. I mean, some people are a little bit worried that if they download anything on Apple, it could be traced or whatever. So I always say, just make sure your iCloud account isn't uploading to your family account. You should be fine unless somebody's in your phone, etc. But if you truly want total confidentiality, that's why we thought it was important to join this new platform. And we welcome you to join us there confidentially as well, because when you sign up, it doesn't come up as How Not to Suck at Divorce. It's just the app name. So that's why we're doing it. And it's open to anybody.
That's correct. And the charge that you will get every month to your credit card won't have anything on there about How Not to Suck at Divorce. It'll be just for Patreon. So it's completely benign. And a lot of this is not only for the confidentiality, but all of the additional information that you'll be able to receive by joining us over there. So that is that. That is our gift to you. And now let's dig into some of our fan mail this week, shall we?
Okay, let's see which Nigerian prince DM'd us today.
If you're really a prince, I'll marry you.
This is fan mail. I've got one. Some guy sent me a DM that says, please, I'm in need of a life partner here. Oh. I'm a divorce. I don't quite know what that means, sir. So I'm unable to answer that question.
He himself is an entire divorce.
That's what he says. That is what he says.
Okay. So I had someone that reached out to me. I think they actually set up a separate Instagram account just to message us because they were concerned about something being traced. This is a question about securing housing, health insurance, and financial support. Yep. Because there's been a long absence in this person's career. So as they're getting back on their feet with making money again, they want to know, like, what can I do?
Meaning to get support?
Yeah, to get support. Yeah.
So that's when you want to work with your lawyer to either negotiate some support amount. Usually the only way that we can do that is to have that dreaded financial affidavit done and done well. Mm-hmm. And then if we cannot negotiate it, it's always a good idea to get something on file. And that doesn't, I don't want anyone to feel if they don't have a job or they're getting back on their feet, there's some negative connotation with that. There's nothing. I mean, the fact that you're going to look for a job is really admirable. And we all know that the status quo probably has been that this person has been out of the workforce for some time and is going to need a little bit of help going forward. And they shouldn't feel bad about themselves because of that. And that's what temporary support is there for. So I have a question that I got on my Instagram that is not about needing a life partner.
Yeah.
So this person sent me a message and basically said that they had hired a lawyer because they expected their ex to fight them on everything. Mm-hmm. And their ex has talked to a lawyer who's really pushing collaborative divorce, but this person's really reluctant because they don't want to have to change lawyers if it doesn't work out. And they're really hoping for mediation, but the ex is really gung-ho on collaboration. And what do I do? Mm-hmm. And so this happens, everybody. You know, somebody reads something on the internet and is like, oh, that's it, collaboration or bust. You know, if you don't do collaboration, it's like scorched earth and this is the only way to go. And my neighbor told me so. Well, first of all, it's all nonsense. You know, you never kind of know which way is the best way to go for everybody. But if one person really wants it, sometimes, and the other person is a little reluctant, let's just talk about collaborative. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of cases where they do the collaborative process. So you're appeasing the one side, but they don't sign the agreement. They don't sign the actual collab agreement. So they're running the process as is. But if it doesn't work generally, they don't have to switch lawyers. So I've seen a lot of cases get done like that. And honestly, I don't practice collaborative myself, but my firm does plenty of it mm-hmm. internally. So I'm not sure if that's the real way to do it. But a lot of people that I know do that because there's one person that's hesitant about it.
Learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
I say collaborative is something that I think it's another buzz phrase that we're hearing so much of right now.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people don't exactly understand what it means and why it might not be the best option in several ways. Or, in other ways it works.
Or it might be the best option. You right. never know. But right. it always is hard when one person starts out just so 100% in on one form and they're not willing to change off of that one form. It puts a lot of stress on the other side. Well, so if you're going through that, we're sorry.
Yeah. But like, again, that's what everyone goes through with divorce. I mean, that's the hardest thing about this entire thing is going with the flow. We talked about this in one of our episodes, I think at the end of last season, when we were talking about how hard it is, I think it was an episode about what to do towards the very end of your divorce. And it's how, like, you think everything is happening, like everything is going the way that it should. We're going to sign on the dotted line. We're getting divorced on this date. And then something happens and you're like, what the fuck? But that is the name of the game. You got to roll with it. And people who are not open to any kind of change make the process a lot harder, not only on the person they're divorcing, but on themselves too.
That's right.
Like, you gotta lighten up. I want to just give a shout out to one of our listeners who is so sweet, who wrote to us and we answered this person's question on the air a few weeks ago. And they wrote back saying, oh my God, I'm bawling in my car listening to your latest episode. It's exactly what I needed to hear at this moment. Oh my God. And now I'm listening to the part where you're actually answering my question. I swear, things are aligning. I even found something in my size at my local TJ Maxx to wear to a dance.
Oh, God bless. That's a good day.
Full alignment. And what I have to say to you, my dear, is go to Target and pick up some A New Day tank tops for $8. You won't be sorry.
Yep. That's right. So guys, listen, I mean, we love and appreciate every one of you. And it's just so amazing to see the amount of downloads and the DMs that are coming in. And we see it and we see you and we appreciate it to see everybody across the country in every state and many, many countries listening in. Means that we're talking about some things that are pretty relevant. So if you have anything that you want to hear topic-wise, we're open to it. Send us a message. We want to be hitting the topics that matter most to you.
That's exactly right. And if you are going through this and you're feeling like, oh my God, I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm feeling really emotional. I don't know if I can do this. This is your reminder that you can do this. You can. You can do it. It's hard. It is 100% hard, but it is not impossible. And that is exactly why we have this show.
Right. And remember, divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Some days it's day by day or hour by hour, and God bless. And some days it's minute by minute. And that's okay. That's okay. And we always say on those really bad days, start over tomorrow. Just pull the ripcord there, because it's not going to get any better some days, and that's okay. Just know it. And then when you start over the next day, you'll be in a better place.
Yep. And tell your attorney that you're having one of those days. where you can't make a decision. They will appreciate your transparency, and nobody wants you to make a decision when you are at your lowest point. Stop what you're doing. We are huge proponents of moving your body. Go for a walk, take a break, do what you need to do to take care of you. Make sure you tell your friends, your family, anyone you know who could possibly have an easier divorce by listening to our show. Tell them about our show. We would be honored to be a part of their lives and help them make a really icky process just a little bit easier.
That's right. And if you love our show, will you please rate and review us? It means the world to us. And remember this, days are tough, but we are here for you. You've got this, and we've got you.